Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. I want to say I'm thankful to be here again. The Lord's been good to us. I'd like to look at a few verses in the 15th chapter of John. Starting with the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I've been pondering this passage of Scripture for quite a while, off and on. And seems like I get new and deeper ideas and thoughts about it. Jesus obviously was using the idea of a vineyard, which is used a lot in the Scriptures. It gives us a visual here and an understanding of this. And the main idea that is important to us in this Scripture is that we need a connection with the Lord. I would say that probably our highest ambition, our biggest desire for everyone that comes on this campground during this meeting is that they would make a connection with Christ. That's really the highest thing that we can wish and hope for, is that this is what we pray for, this is what the idea of it is. If we lose that idea, we really don't have anything. And honestly, we can, as far as the flesh goes, we can make this enjoyable. I mean, getting together is fun for the most part. If you get along, I mean, it's fun to do things and do those things. But really, we don't really have anything to offer if we don't offer that there is a connection with Christ, because this is the answer that nobody else can give. This is the answer to all of life's problems. You know, I appreciated what Brother Dan said in the exhortation is about brethren walking together in unity. That's good, and the Scripture has a lot of things that has to do with the relationship that we have with one another. There is safety in the multitude of counsel. There is fellowship that's sweet. We do love one another, brethren. There is a place of edification with one another. We are fit together. I mean, there is a lot of. I don't want to take away from that at all, and the importance of that. But there is something that is the basis of that. There's something that is so much more than that. There's something that you can't really have that if you don't have this other thing. And so those things are very valuable. But we want to offer a connection with Christ, because Jesus said something here that is very exclusive. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. Do you know nobody else, no other system, nothing else? Paul, as much as the Lord used him in his ministry, he could not make the claim to the people he worked with, without me, you can do nothing. It would have been disappointing had he had tried to make a claim like that. And people that do make a claim like that are very errant about things. He couldn't make it. The church, as wonderful as it is, and the body of Christ, cannot make the claim, without me, you can do nothing. It can't make that claim. Nothing else can make the claim that without me, you can do nothing. But Jesus makes this claim here and says, without me, you can do nothing. So the highest, most noble, the best thing that we can hope for or desire for is that everyone that comes under this tabernacle and onto this ground, that we can make a connection with the Lord Jesus, because without him, we truly can do nothing. So we need to make this connection. And I thank God that there is a place here that we can make this connection. For without me, he said, you can do nothing. What can be accomplished? What can you do without me? Nothing. Nothing can be accomplished or nothing can be done. So we offer that. We offer the connection. We love the fellowship. True. We love the gathering. It's true. But folks, this is what the Lord is endeavoring to do for all of us in the meeting that's coming. This is the beginning, but the meeting that's coming, his desire is going to be to strengthen the connection that we have with the Lord. Because without me, you can do nothing. You can have a wonderful pastor, but I'm still going to say, as good as he is, and as godly as he is, and as much as he can do for you, and it's a blessing to have one. Without Christ, you can do nothing. You've got to make the connection. Any minister worthy of salt points people to making a connection with Christ. It isn't about us. It's about Christ. It's about making a connection with him. So Lord, help us this week that make the connection. Lord, help us to get a good connection on you. And you know we'll find that everything else works better when we make that connection with the Lord. No one else can make this, and I mean nobody. Not the president, not the governors, not the spiritual leaders, so-called, not real spiritual leaders. Nobody can make this claim, without me, you can do nothing. But Jesus makes it. It's very exclusive. We need the connection with the Lord. So I want to go through this passages of Scripture a little bit. You pray for us. Starting in the first verse, Jesus says, I am... Now, I say this wrong. I'll be honest with you. I quote this wrong a lot of times, people. I'll say, Jesus said he was the vine. He did. He's the vine. But it's an important word in here that brings a lot of thinking. He said, I am the true vine. So that introduces into our thinking the idea that there must be other vines. There must be other influences. I think it's the best way. There must be false ones. If he is not a vine, not just a vine, but he claims of himself, I am the true vine. I am the true influence. I am the true power. I am the true influence of God that's going to make a difference in your life. I am the true way of that. And so it opens up our thinking to this idea. What are the competitions? There must be competition. Because he said he was the true vine. Lord, help us that we don't become a competition to the true vine. This is about Jesus. This is about Jesus and what he can do for us. Nobody else can do it. Nobody can save you. Nobody can heal you, help you, encourage. Nobody can do the things that the Lord can do. He said, I am the true vine. In this life, there is vines. There is all kind of things that people attach themselves to. And from that attachment, there flows and creates a branch. It grows into something more and more to witness to the vine that it's hooked to. There is a lot of influences in this world. But Jesus said, I am the true vine. I'm wondering if he wasn't thinking of the time of the systems that was around him. There was other systems that people were putting themselves to. His people had one that God had intended to be a part to witness to the true vine, but they took the vine and it was completely something that was different than what it was supposed to be, and they trusted in it. This was what it was. We are of Abraham. We are the children of Abraham. We're this, and the influence it has, and he comes in and says, there's vines. There's all kinds of vines, but I'm the true vine. You know what I find of the vines of this world, the different things of this world? I find them disappointing at the end. I've hooked myself to things in this life, and I find that no matter what we think they are to start with, or what kind of enthusiasm we can get out of them, or what kind of entertainments we can get out of them, or fulfillment we get out of time, it kind of ends up like it was said of Moses that he enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season. There was something that was fulfilling for a little while, and then it wasn't fulfilling anymore, and it started fading away. And in this world, there's so many things that people put their hopes and their desires in. And more, if you'll notice, the world that we live in is going away from the fear of God. More and more is going away from the idea that Christ is the true vine, that he can really help. Well, maybe there's been a bad witness to the world. Honestly, I wonder. Christianity has made a pretty bad, I'm saying it in a whole, you know what I'm saying. There's been a pretty bad witness to the world. There really has. Our marriages, the marriages in the Christian world has been gone, and the witness of that and all the worldliness, it's not been a good witness to the world. It doesn't seem like the vine has shown much. But I'm going to tell you, without Christ, we can do nothing. There is a true vine. There is a true influence that influences us into holiness and righteousness, and influences us into the right things, and will bring right results in our life. When there's a connection with Christ, he'll say, you'll bring forth much fruit. There will be fruit that will be brought in your life. When there's a connection with the Lord, I can't give you the connection. I don't have the fruit for you. I don't have the power for you. I don't have the influence for you. It's my job to point you to the one that's going to do it. It's going to be able to make a difference in your life, that can fulfill your life when the times are hard, when the times are rough, no matter what happens in life. There is a promise made from the world. There is a promise made by riches. It's called deceitfulness of riches for a reason. It promises so much and delivers so little. I heard just recently that the Powerball, I think I heard it yesterday, that the Powerball, that it exceeded $1 billion, I think, that had been won by somebody with all the hopes and dreams of $1 billion. And what $1 billion can do, do you know that the history of that is not good? The history is not good. It makes a grandiose promise. If you had $1 billion today, you could jet set the world. You could do anything you want to do. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to get old and die. You'll still wrinkle. And all the best ones that can stretch you, pull your skin, thrust you out, they might do it on the outside, but you'll still get old on the inside. They can't change the facts of this life. It is a facade. And it is a lie, and it is a vine. It is something that people hook themselves to with the promises that they're going to deliver something for me, and it's going to give something to me. It would be like the pleasures of sin for a season. The money would be, what would you do with that? It's so much more. I can only eat so much. I can only sleep so long. I can only drive one vehicle at a time. I'm blessed in my life, and I can be hooked to the true vine. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when I can have hope in Christ. It doesn't matter. Yes, we went through a time, and we've had a number of our people even that's passed away quickly, and we can be disturbed by that. But I'm going to tell you something. There can be something in us that says it don't matter. My home isn't here anyway. I got a promise. I'm hooked to something more than just this fleshly body, or the hope of a pleasure for a little while. There can be something in my life that's more than that. Right. It's our job. It's our idea. We don't point to ourselves. Thank God I've never found that here. Thank God of what I see. I shake my head sometimes when I see these ones pulling themselves. Come to me. I can do something for you. And maybe, no, they can't. No, they can't. You know, humble yourself and tell the truth. This is the truth. I can humble myself down and tell the truth. You can't find nothing in me.
That's right.
If the Lord don't give it to me,
that's right.
You can't find it.
That's right.
But I want to tell you what, whatever you can see in there, the Lord can give it to you too. If you get hooked to the vine. I am the true vine. So there must be false ones. There's a lot of lies going around. A lot of lies. There is a lie of religion that has so much come and make your stand. No quality of life, no really giving yourself. This isn't about, you're going to understand the passage of Scripture. Jesus isn't saying just a determination. Jesus isn't saying here in this passage of Scripture that you can think your way into this. It isn't saying that if you have your name written among a list of people that you belong to the church, you're okay. It doesn't say that. What this is talking about is a connection. A connection with Christ. I am the true vine. So our world has its influences. There's religion. There's politics. There's sports. There's entertainments. There's all these things that make grandiose promises of life and all these things. And now, and Lord help us in the day and time that we're in, because we're going to know people and we're going to be involved with people. And there's a great lie being told about the fact that if you're not feeling right about yourself, that you can get that changed, or that what's going on inside you can be solved by those kind of things. They can't be solved by those kind of things. There's lies, big lies being told about these kind of things. And what our desire is that we could help people. I can't solve the internal problems of your life, but I know the lies, and they won't either. And there's a grandiose promise made, if you're feeling a certain way, and the hope that they give, that if you can change this, then you'll be okay. Without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. You're not going to solve those inner yearnings and that hopelessness and those feelings by those kind of results. That's not going to do it. And then hopelessness, there's a scripture that says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. That after you've tried and you've done all these things, and then you don't have hope, it maketh the heart sick, and it's worse than it ever was. I'm going to tell you, those aren't the answers. The answer is a connection with Christ. And I want to tell you, we fight around the edges a lot of times trying to think our way through the problem and saying we could get together to do it, or we can do it by ourselves. Or you go and say, well, this needs this to fix it, and this needs this to fix it. And all of a sudden, in the image the Lord gave me was that there's a vine with a severed limb there, and we're all gathered around the limb with our hands on it, praying for this severed limb here. What can we do for this limb? Well, there's got some bugs on it. Let's get the bugs off, and let's wash it up good and do that. That limb ain't doing nothing until it's hooked to that vine. That's the place that needs to go with from the start, is to deal with this branch. It's got to be hooked to that vine. Jesus is giving us a very visual picture here. There's no reason to start fooling around with a disconnected branch. The connection to the connection to the vine is what we've got to strive for. First and foremost, forget the exteriors. The exteriors doesn't do it. You can wash the leaves. You can prune the leaves. You can prune that old limb laying there. It's going to die. There's nothing you can do. It's got to be hooked. Our passion, our desire has to be to bring people to a connection. So the vine don't look healthy right now, or the branch. And so it's not the way we'd want it to be. You know how to make it that way? It's got to get hooked. I had the privilege this year. I was very excited about this. I love gardening, and some of these expressions I really like to go through, because I have a passion for gardening and doing this. And this was the first year I was actually successful in that. Early in the spring, I got to graft some apple trees. I got some different apple trees, and I grafted them on some others. And how exciting it was to me to take what looked like dead. They wasn't dead. They were dormant. These dormant, they're called scions, but these, and take them and put them at the right time, and you do them a certain way, and you connect them in. I've done mainly limb grafts, and put them in, and you make sure, what you got to make sure is, you've got to make sure that the cambium layers of the vine or the tree trunk, you got to make sure that they line up. They've got to connect. They've got to get the energy and strength from the roots, from the vine. It's got to hook together, but you put them together. And then you make sure that you do the proper process. You can't get anything to happen. You can't lay that out by itself and say, oh, I'm going to take care of this, and I can't wait till it grows something on it and lay it out there. No, it ain't going to do anything until it's hooked to that, and you put it there, and with hope and patience. And I'd watch them every once in a while and do it. And I'll be honest with you, some of them took, some of them didn't. Some of them that didn't afterwards, I noticed that they wasn't lined up right. They didn't connect. They didn't get it together, and they didn't grow. But all, some of them did. Some of them was lined up. Some of them did. And when I first started seeing the leaves coming out on that, it was so exciting. You got some life on this thing. And they started growing and growing, and it was so pretty. And some of them has grown, and some of them has grown this year. It's just grown out, and it was so exciting to me. And then I started noticing something about it. Some of them was so connected, and they was growing and growing so much, and just really going the way your life would want to go. And I looked at it and said, I don't want it to have to do this, though. You all probably know where I'm going. I don't want to have to, because I wanted it to connect, and it's connected so well, and it's going to do this. But if I don't do something about it, the fruit ain't going to be no good. Understand what I'm saying? There's another passage that is so such a blessing in this passage. Just this first verse has so much in it. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You know, I've read that so many times, and never really got the full picture of what Jesus said in that one passage. My Father, without me, you can do nothing. You've got to have a connection with me. But the God of heaven, our Father, when you're connected to me, He's not going to leave you to your own. My Father is going to be the husbandman of your life. Of this branch that your God, He's going to be the husbandman of your life. You know how often we need the connection, but there is connections that don't bring forth much fruit. But this is the desire of God. Lord, help us. We want to make the connection with the Lord. And we also want to give free right away for God to pull out the pruners. And I'm going to tell you, it's not an easy thing. I heard recently, I don't know if I heard it or read it in Streams and Desert or something, but I come into this idea about somebody was talking about these fruit trees or fruit vines, and they said they got this new, they wasn't having success, so they got this new husbandman, this new gardener to come in, and he looks at it all and is going to see if he's going to take the job. And he told the owner, he said, I won't take the job unless you give me full liberty. It's all wrong. He said this, I just give me full liberty. And said, okay, I trust you, do it. He started cutting them down, cutting them off, cutting them down. These can't have fruit. It's not going to have fruit this way. And he said the first year there wasn't much. But then after that, it started producing. And oh, how it hurt to look at his investment, to look at this. It's going to be cut away. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Remember a time there in, I think, 2 Corinthians where Paul's going along, and he gets this vision and all of this, and then the Lord comes along and tells him, he sends him a thorn in the flesh and says, he sent him a messenger from Satan to buffet him, and because lest he be exalted above his measure. That was the husbandman. That was the husband going to prune on Paul a little bit. Paul, you're a valuable asset, but I'm going to lose you here in this. You're going to start being diminished by this. So I'm going to send you something in your life. Lord, help us not diminish the things that you're doing in our life. So often we reject. We reject the workings of the Lord. No, I'm not going to take that. No, I don't want that thing. If we're connected to the vine, the God, the husband, is going to do the pruning. And I'm going to tell you, he's going to cut some things away sometimes that we're going to look and say, that don't look right to cut it away. It's been too long growing that. It's been too much producing that tree. If there's one thing I've been poor at in my gardening experience, I can't hardly stand to just... I get these big tomato plants. I just did it. And I got out there, and they're so big, and they're so flourishing, they're so growing. And I know to make a better fruit on this spot, I'm going to have to cut some of that out. It can't support it. I'm going to have to cut it, and it's so hard for me to cut away what looks like the potential and looks what it's going to make the plant look ugly. It's going to take away from it somehow, and it's so hard. But this says... the father is going to be the husbandman. He's going to be the one that's going to work and deal in our lives. Thank God that it's him that does it. And it's going to bring me to the point. This is about getting hooked to Christ and allowing God to work in our lives. Do you all, anybody in here, trust me with the pruning shears on your life? Now, I love you guys. You know it. I love you guys. But I ain't so sure I'm willing to give you the pruning shears. I just don't know if you knew where to cut, you could even cut it right at the right time. I'm not convinced of the human abilities to deal in people's lives. I'm not convinced of that. I'm very comfortable with this scripture where Jesus says, I am the true vine. What do I want people to have? A false vine? Do I want them to have false hopes or false expectations of what they're supposed to have? No, I want them to be connected to Jesus Christ. And if they are, it'll work well for them. And do you want to know something else? I don't ever have to speak to them again for it to work. I'm not important in the scheme of that. He didn't make it important. He didn't say, without me and Brother Marty, you can do nothing. He said, without me, you can do nothing. If we can hook them to their God, bless them and go on your way. Lead them, Lord, and help them to do what they need to do. I don't know how to prune your life. I can look into your life and be unknown by the wisdom and understanding that the Lord has given me, I can be assured that there's things in your life that is a detriment to you. I don't know how to cut them.
That's right.
I don't know when to cut them.
That's right.
And if I did cut them, I wouldn't do it at the right time. I wouldn't know how to, you know, and to get more fruit out of these things, there is a time to cut. There's a time to get different results out of what you're trying to do. I asked a guy that was very gifted at this one time. I said, when should I prune my apple tree? He said, what are you trying to accomplish? Well, that's a good question. Well, it grows too big and too full and all that. And he said, well, generally if you want in for a certain year, March in our area is a good time to trim your apple trees. But that's going to cause a lot of new growth in the summer, a lot of suckers, they call them. Shoots are going to be off. If you don't want that to happen, trim in the summertime and that won't happen. And I'm saying, I don't know all of this. And you won't let me cut on your life? I don't know when to cut or what's going to deaden what or do what. And this is why the Lord put his father into this statement here. I am the true vine. You need to hook with me. But this connection needs to go beyond just the connection. There needs to be a working in our lives from God. Oh, I'm so comfortable. to be able to say, the great, all-powerful, all-wise God,
yes,
be my husband.
Yes.
Work in my life. And if I can say that, Lord help me. But if I can say that and I can say in a monarch setting, brother, and I'm not going to give you the pruning shears for me, then I ain't picking up no pruning shears.
That's right.
For anybody else. Right. I want to bring them to the knowledge,
yes,
of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And the knowledge of God that loves them and wants to work in their lives. And then I'm going to be able to encourage that when somebody gets in that place to where they get that sickness or all that, I'm going to be able to say to them, the Father's working with you, brother. God cutting on your life. This is about you bring your... I can pray, Lord, trim them, prune them, get the fruit out of them. They love you. They want to go to that place. That is the way this works successfully. God, give us a picture of this vines, of these things, for us to understand this is a working of God. It is just too human and too elevated for us to want to get everything in this visual line. Yes. I want everybody to see us just the way. But that isn't the true vine. The true biblical line is that there's some that have climbed the ladder and got to the place through slipping and all that they bear much fruit that they didn't bear before. And then there's people back here that hadn't got that experience and that pruning and that place. And I don't know how to get them to there. And I'll say this, you don't either.
That's right.
You don't either.
Amen.
Here is what we offer.
Right.
We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is it. You can come to the Lord and your loving Father is going to care for you. I believe this with all my heart. I say it much. I believe that God will work and deal with every honest soul.
That's right.
And I believe that if a person is honest, they don't have to be no Einstein or spiritual giant in this. I believe if they're honest before the Lord knows how to bring them to places. If there's anything that's amazed me in my walk with the Lord, if I can be so bold to say this, I hope it's okay. But there is, sometimes you get visions or opinions about spirituality. You know, this person is devoted, spiritual person. This person is less. They don't seem to be as devoted. And you get these, this, that. If there's one thing that's amazed me about this thing is how the Lord can take people that doesn't seem to have been spiritual and bring them to a place all of a sudden that they are a rock. I mean, you ever know? I mean, I've seen these places, just it didn't seem like they really had it all together. They was always just kind of sluggish about the whole thing. And it comes a point in their life that they get a hold of it and the Lord prunes on them and the Lord works on them and brings them to a place, and I'm scratching my head and say, how did that ever do it? That's what we want the Lord to do. We don't need to run off, destroy, or hurt anybody with this thing. This isn't so fragile. God's way isn't so fragile. We're going to be destroyed by those kind of things. No. Bring them to a connection with the Lord. Go through. There's a process, and it's got to be met. Got to hook to the vine, and it got to let the Lord, the Father, be the husbandman. Because if God starts working, oh, what God will do in His time. And when we look and say, that person doesn't look to me like they could be saved at all where they're going and how they're doing, all of a sudden the Lord will arrest them, stir their heart, block their way, block their road, and all these things. And before long, we're saying, the great husband,
yes,
of our souls, yes, is caring for each and every one of us. No matter what place we're at, God is still. I would say there's some that you think sheer that's up here, and there's some up here because we don't see, we don't know. And it's what gets us. The pruning shears, I got my pruning things that I do for my plants. But I'm saying in the spiritual sense, they don't fit our hands. They're not ours. These tools belong to the Holy Ghost. We have power with God through Christ to move God to use those tools where He needs to use them. We have power that way. But let us keep the tools out of our hands that don't belong to us. That is not ours. But I want to deal with the only person that I can.
Yes.
That's me. So let's humble ourselves. As the meeting starts and goes, let's humble ourselves and take a deep look into the connection that I have. Sometimes on a graft, if you get a part connection, you get a part of growth, but you don't get the whole thing. Many times it won't hold with that little bit. It will go a ways and show a little bit, but it doesn't live out. That connection needs to be full all the way around, and there will be areas and places in our lives sometimes. The connection is the answer. I'm going to read it the way the Lord said it. I am the vine, the fifth verse. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, this isn't a decision. This isn't, you say, well, the Lord decided. No, this isn't a decision. That's not the way this is written. This isn't written to the fact that the Lord decided to cut you off and burn you. The decision is that if you're not connected, you dry up. And then after there's nothing left, it's burned. Because there's nothing else to do with it. You can't get it to work. There won't be fruit on it. And it doesn't do it any good. If ye abide in me, in the seventh verse. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Wherein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now here was the end of it. This is the desire of the Lord, that you bear much fruit. God is glorified when there is much fruit. In this world of religious orders, there is nothing more impressive than a place where you're loved and nurtured and allowed the liberty to follow God in spirit and in truth. There's nothing that compares to this freedom. That if you have a song on your heart, you can call it. You can sing it. If you have a prayer in your heart, you can pray it. If you have something, this isn't being manipulated or driven by the will of men, but by the will of God. And God is glorified when there is much fruit comes out of our lives, and when it's seen by those that are in there, and it's seen by these, that's where God is glorified. So He wants to do the only thing He can when it comes to glorifying God is make the connection with Christ. So for everyone that comes onto the grounds this week, comes under this tabernacle, there is one goal. No, it's not that they put their hair up a certain way. No, the length of it, no, it's not the goal. It might be part of the pruning, but it ain't the goal. The goal is not to make them a part of a group. No, that's what will happen. No, the goal is that if they're never seen again by our eyes, that they make a connection with Christ. And that will glorify God. He'll be able to work. And it's the goal that we should have when we're witnessing at the Walmart. Right. It isn't about pulling somebody. It's about getting a connection. Yeah. Somebody said to me recently about something. He said, I'll have to say it in a general sense. They said, I love the people. But their testimonies is more and more becoming about themselves and about the church. And they never mention Christ. And I thought, Lord, help. Lord, help. I appreciate you all. You know what I'm talking about. I've been around you long enough that you all know. There isn't one bit of me puts down the church of God. It is the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. No. I love it. The Lord loved it, and I have a right to. But it's made because there's a connection with Christ.
Yes.
And she, the bride of Christ, she gives glory to Christ. She speaks of her husband. She speaks of the glory that she gets from him. This is what we have. Lord, may we never lose it. And never lose our connection. And as we're connected individually, we have a connection in the body. We have a connection to the Lord. We want. Lord, help us in this time of change and all these things that happen, that we don't lose this fundamental idea that we are what we are. Brother Salmon said one time, he said, well, I'll tell you this. Speaking of Holy Ghost leadership, he said, I'll tell you this. Without the Holy Ghost leading us, we would be one pathetic bunch of people. And I said, that's okay. What he was meaning is we ain't overly educated. I probably said a lot of things grammatically wrong. I mean, that doesn't, not what we're pushing for.
Right.
We would be kind of pathetic. But he is our vine.
Yes.
He is the true vine. At the end of this true vine, there is much fruit for eternity. You pray for me. I want to be faithful. And God bless the rest of the meeting.